Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. Okay, great. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening from. I'm really excited because I just had a great conversation before the podcast with Patrick Tian, and we just share a lot of, I think, the same views and challenges. And anyways, I'm really excited to introduce you. He's created a great software company, wrote a lot of books, but can you introduce yourself? I think it'll be a little better job than myself.
Sure. Dean, first, I want to thank you for inviting me on your podcast. It's a pleasure to be here. And I hope that today I can serve your audience well. So that's my main thing of coming here. So to introduce myself, I'm an electrical engineer that started my life at Oracle Corporation back in, I guess, the late 80s. I've just unfortunately dated myself, told you how old I am. But I did that for about 2 years and 9 months, and I started my first software company. And Medisys was a fast-growing thing. We were number 151 on the Inc. 500. And 7 years, we grew that, and then we sold. I had a good exit. So from the outside looking in, from the world looking in, we felt very successful. But from the inside looking out, I felt like I was running from one crisis to another, and we survive it, and we survive it. And then somehow, I don't quite know how we survived it, but one day we were like big and successful, and we were rewarded for that success. When I got to reflect on that, I realized the following. Number one, our challenges really came from poor execution. And then I started helping a lot of my friends, and actually I started the Entrepreneurs Organization chapter here in Charlotte, North Carolina, back then, 1998, I believe. And a lot of entrepreneurs asked me for help, and I realized that they were having some of the same challenges as me. It was execution issues. And I started doing what I do today about 25 years ago. And I came to this realization that my true calling was to help CEOs not fail, but rather to succeed and achieve their dreams. And I choose the words not fail because the CEO job is a very tough job. In fact, the failure rate is really high. And what I consider to be failure would be if you were pushed out of the job, not by your choice. If you said, hey, you know what? I'm ready for a different part of my journey. I want to hire someone to run the operation of the company. I think that's fine. It's perfectly fine. But if you are asked to leave your company without your intentions, or not even the founder, if you were hired to run a company, and 4 years later, your private equity firm said, you're the wrong person, that's a failure. And those are very painful. So my mission actually today, and my whole company's mission, is to help CEOs take their companies and realize their dreams, which means you've got to get your strategic plan written. You've got to document it. You've got to get clear on it. You've got to align your teams and be accountable to achieve your goals. So that's, in a nutshell, my origin story, so to speak, and what I connects to why I do what I do today.
Yeah, I love the way you talk about, an entrepreneur founder works so hard and they get pushed out. That's a horrible outcome. And that you're trying to prevent all of that. And so you wrote a bunch of books. Like, I think one's called Rhythm.
Yes.
And I think it's maybe things that you really talk about how to align and improve execution. But maybe give like a highlight, like what is Rhythm and how do you talk about that?
Yeah. So Rhythm actually has a pretty big fan base. Rhythm is a USA Today and Wall Street Journal bestselling book. I re-released it about four years ago. And what Rhythm does is Rhythm has a very simple methodology called Think, Plan, and Do. So simple. I like to say so simple a 10th grader can get it. In fact, one time I was struggling with something, and when one of my daughters was young, she was actually a fifth grader at the time, and she said to me, Dad, you know the process. You know the way to do it. Think, plan, do it. I just laughed when she said that to me. But I think entrepreneurs and CEOs who are really busy don't stop enough to think. So we want to put you in a rhythm that forces you actually to lift your head out of the business and think, work on your strategic plan, work on things which you should see but you're not seeing, so you don't get blindsided. And then the plan piece is to help you create execution plans, not just strategic plans. I think a lot of people make the mistake that once they've built their strategic plan, like these are things we want to do, they don't spend the time to talk about how they're going to actually get it done, because it's the how part that helps you create SMART goals to get it done. And then finally, the do rhythm is on a weekly, daily basis. Can you get it done? What are the rhythms your company should be in so that you can repeat success day after day, week after week, quarter after quarter, year after year? So think, plan, do. And it's really all about putting you into a consistent rhythm to give you predictable results.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. And I totally subscribe to everything, every word you said. And now, how about, let's talk a little about AI. Like, how are you and your customers and your people you're coaching and working with, how are you seeing AI applied to execution, applied to planning and operation? Yeah.
So I would suggest the following. I'll say first, the history of AI. A lot of people think AI just popped its head out when ChatGPT popped out 3 years ago. But really, AI has been around a long time. It went from, because I'm an electrical engineer, I studied AI in university back in the 80s. And it, from AI became machine learning. And then ChatGPT, really, OpenAI really made the term AI in vogue again in a very big way. So I would say AI has been a long time coming. But to answer your question, for execution, I think that one of the best ways to use AI is to use AI to understand a few things about. So number one, extend your brain power, right? So what do you need to know about the market? What you need to know about competitive forces? You could ask ChatGPT to do market research for you, and you definitely should. Because when I do planning sessions for some folks, we always ask the question, what do you think are the right trends we should be concerned about? And everyone has an opinion. But I think my question has always been, how do I know that what you think is a trend is really a trend? Maybe just what you saw in your small microcosm. So I'm thinking, first of all, I use OpenAI, I use ChatGPT to think about what are some of the market trends. Then the second thing we do is we should take a look at your execution history. This is your strategic plan. These are the goals that you've had and how have you done? And from there, we can actually create a plan that says, based on your strategic plan, based on your execution history, your ability. I say I'm going to do six things, but only got four done. Okay, I understand your capacity now, right? You may have a desire to do six things, but couldn't get four things done. So don't plan for six things, plan for four things, or improve yourself so you can do six things. So understanding your strategic plan, looking at market trends, and understanding your execution history, and then create SMART goals and a plan that is doable and achievable and successful for you move forward. By the way, our software Rhythm actually does what I just said to you, said for you, is we actually take a strategic plan that is in Rhythm. Our AI looks at the history of your execution. I'll ask you to upload any files you want that deal with your market realities. And then we crunch out an annual plan for you in a four-quarter flyover that you can then go in and edit and play with. And I would also add that I don't think anyone should outsource their planning to an AI. I think you should view AI as having a like an executive in your planning table, a seat at your table. So you can have that conversation with whichever AI you're using. And in my case, I use the Rhythm AI and have that conversation. It generates a goal. You don't like it, tell it. Look, I think I accept this goal, don't like that goal, regen it for me. So that's how we use AI today.
Yeah, great. And do you do OKRs? Do you do your Rhythm process? Do you do EOS or what do you?
So Rhythm is our own methodology. It has been used by a few thousand companies. And so it's an established methodology. That being said, it's very similar to the scaling up methodology. It's very similar to EOS. And you can also be using OKRs, and people just call things differently. EOS we call it priorities and KPIs. EOS would call it rocks and KPIs. Yep. And lean manufacturing methodology would call it Hoshin. And OKRs, of course, calls it OKRs, right? So our software allows you to actually change some of the labels. So you could actually do, you can use whichever methodology you prefer. Obviously, I prefer to use rhythm, but you could use whichever methodology you prefer. Change the label so that the words are familiar to you. All I care about, my mission in life is to help CEOs not fail and succeed. So I've become more flexible that if you prefer a certain methodology and a certain language, I think it's important for a company to have one language. So in other words, you show up at your company and Dean, you have a very successful firm. You have a global company. So when you say something in one location, you like everyone to understand the same thing. So you really can't live with multiple languages, right? You would have to choose, do I want to use the OKR language or the priorities language or the however you want to do it, but we're going to do one language across the whole company. So that's my perspective on that.
I'm interested in your perspective since you work with so many mid-market CEOs and CEOs
Yes.
that like AI is amazing. Of course, we're building on AI, we're helping AI in our go-to-market, but then it's creating these mimes now that scare me a little bit. So one mime is, yeah, we are a big software tools company selling to software developers. And so AI, you don't need computer science people in our, but so far from the fact. So it
That's
scares
right.
me that people won't study engineering and learn critical thinking. So that's one thing I get scared about. But the other is, oh, how you can be a single entrepreneur with AI and build this huge company, or it's now it's in vogue to keep reducing staff and I think these are all bad minds. But I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm just wondering all these different thought processes that sensationalize the value of AI, I think they have negative connotations in people's decision making. But I'm curious what you think, and then what are some of the CEOs you
Yeah.
work with think about all these that what's happening in the press right now?
Yeah. So, Dean, I said earlier that I've dated myself by telling you what years I worked at Oracle, right? So, I have dated myself, but that also tells you that I've been through a lot of different revolutions. The AI revolution has some differences, but in some ways, it's not that different in mindset thinking than all the other revolutions we've had. Like when I first started programming, I remember when I started working for Oracle, I went to a bank and they had all this COBOL code. I'd never seen COBOL before. Like in engineering school, I programmed in Fortran, in C++. I'd never seen COBOL, but it was dirt easy. And then they said to me, yeah, it's so damn easy that people write horrible code. And now we got all this spaghetti code that goes like this. So back then, what did they say? They said, we don't need programmers anymore because Jack over there, sitting in whichever department he is, can write simple COBOL and we got a program. Yeah, it was a program. And then you had to get real programmers like me to come in and clean it up for you. And then later on, the same thing happened, right? After I cleaned up all that wonderful stuff, we had the web. The web gave us HTML. Shit, everyone can program in HTML. That marketing guy can. We don't need programmers anymore. We got HTML. And so all I'm saying is that it's yes, I think AI can give you a jump start on code. But I would suggest whether it's because AI has hallucinations or whatever, that you still need discipline for programming. You still need to know how to check code in, how to check code out. You still need to know how to do quality control and QA of your code. You still need to know regression testing. And yes, AI is going to get better and do more and more of these things for us, which in my mind just means it's going to free us up to do more strategic and more interesting work. So I think we all should have an abundance mentality that says AI is going to do a bunch of things. The question is, how can I add value? What is the best way for me to add value and not fight with AI? Because it's, I told one of my friends that I said, think of gravity. Like I'm on the fifth floor in this building here. And if I jump out that window, Dean, I promise you, I will fall 5 floors and I'll die. I will. Now I can say, I don't like gravity. I don't like that God didn't give me wings, but I will fall 5 floors and I will die. So my point is, AI is here and AI is here to stay. Like the faster we get over the inertia to say, what is the intelligent way for me to maximize this opportunity, the better we are. So that's what I tell all my friends is AI is the tsunami that is already here. Stop using words like it's coming. No, it's here. It's right here. It's like gravity. It's already here. So how are you going to maximize yourself with that opportunity? And I suggest to all my friends to just begin by playing with it. Just play with it. Get the ChatGPT, have conversations with it. Just play. Like, I was thinking of buying this nice stereo system and for my condo, and I went to ChatGPT, and ChatGPT actually convinced me not to do that. It gave me a different solution. So that's my point, is if you start just playing with it, it becomes less scary, and then you begin to use it more for stuff.
And then, so I totally agree. It's going to make everyone more productive to solve more problems, use technology, write software, and it's real, it's here. But you need people that are systems thinkers and to manage all this complexity. So I'm just this big proponent. Please study computer science. Please study
Yes.
engineering. Like, we need these thoughtful, intellectual people to help manage and design, even with the aid of AI.
Yes.
And what are like some of your CEO friends, and you even think about some of these other comments, like, oh, you can workforce reduction or build a single entrepreneur can do so much. And is it like what are your thoughts around that?
I think that I don't know about workforce reduction. I think that we all need to learn new skills and level ourselves up. That's what I believe. I think that it's going to allow companies to do better work. So, yes, it will replace work. I think that's for sure. However, last time I checked, I have a never-ending supply of work, Dean. It's like
That's a good point.
I'm not sitting on my chair going, dude, I got nothing better to do. No. And I think that, yes, it will replace work that will allow us to move faster. But I think it's up to the company owners to have the right attitude to say, all right, how do I upskill my workforce? How do I get them stronger for the next revolution or evolution? Because I promise you, if all you do is lay off your workforce and not think about the next step, then you will be leapfrogged, right? Because step one, and so again, forget AI. Let's just go to automation, simple automation from 30 years ago. Yeah, workers got automated and a bunch of people got laid off. But all those companies that laid people off, they end up with more employees. So really, they didn't get rid of employees. They replaced them with upskilled employees. So the question is, are you going to lay off your people or are you going to help upskill them for the next place in the company? So I don't think companies are going to get small. I promise you, next year, when you look back, I promise you, Microsoft will be bigger than they are today. Even though, what was it? They laid off a chunk of their workforce recently. But I promise you, 1 year from now, you look back and just count the employees. Apple's going to have more employees than they have today. So is Microsoft. So is Amazon. So, yes, I think it will replace work. But the question is, we better upskill ourselves. And I think some of us work for companies which are going to help us upskill. And unfortunately, not all companies are going to do that. Some companies are going to say, sucks to be you, buddy. You're gone. Then they're going to wake up tomorrow and go, oh crap, why did I do that for? I actually need a dean to be over here. Too bad you laid him off already. Oh, that's okay. I hire new people. So unfortunately, I don't think every company out there is going to be intentional enough and thinking enough about it. It's no different from a company that you have to look at short-term gains and long-term ramifications, right? Short-term says, oh, look, I can reduce my workforce, take more profit. But if that's all you do, I promise you, you will lose the competitive race for the next year even. So really, you want to upskill your people. My advice to all the business people listening to us is to figure out ways to upskill your people, because the part that is really hard to get is the tribal knowledge that your employees have. Right? You lay that person off, it's hard to get that culture, that tribal knowledge in the next guy that you hire.
Totally agree. I love what you said. Upskilling and just leveraging all the value AI is giving, but it really just means more work, more opportunity, more growth. And tribal knowledge is huge. Plus your culture and the values. If they're on
Yes.
your team, they share your values and your company culture. And so, love that advice. Now, what questions didn't I ask you? Oh, Dean, I wish you would ask me this because I really wanted to share that.
I would say that what you didn't ask me about is why is execution so hard and where do people screw up? So I'd love to answer that question if I may.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
execution is so hard because what I've seen is that common sense or common knowledge is not necessarily common practice. If I ask you what a SMART goal is, most people I talk to, in fact, every one of the audience that's listening to this will probably not, hey, Patrick, I know what a SMART goal is. But the weird thing is that every CEO and executive I've looked at, when I open up their drawer and look at their goals, none of them have been written smart. So we all know what a SMART goal is, but we don't seem to take the time to write it because execution is hard. So what I've discovered is that execution is as hard as working out. And some of us don't need a personal trainer. Some of us need a personal trainer. I have a personal trainer. He doesn't teach me anything new these days, but he makes me do the things that I already know how to do. I think execution is really hard. I think that people fail because they don't spend the time it takes to write SMART goals. They don't put themselves into a nice, repeatable pattern, hence think, plan, do. And then they don't check themselves to say, this is my goal. Stephen Covey said, begin with the end in mind. I like people to execute with the end in mind and look back and look before you get to the end of the quarter every week to say, hey, beginning this week with the end in mind, how am I going to achieve that goal for the quarter? And then if I'm off target, make some adjustments now. And so some people, they get what I call blind to red. They have a KPI or a priority. It's red. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's red. And they're like, yeah, it's red. What do you mean by it's red? And if you don't do something different, you will fail. So people don't take action early enough to execute well to succeed. So execution isn't complicated, it's just hard to do.
Yep, no doubt. Sometimes simple things are easy to understand, but really
Easy to
hard to do.
understand, yeah.
Yeah, like SMART goals, OKRs, all these things are easy to understand, really hard to do and write down. And I agree, you start looking at these dashboards and KPIs and it's red, you get numb to it. You
Yeah.
either have too many KPIs or you should not get numb to it and you should do what you said. Okay, what new experiments can we do to improve
Yes.
outcome and create
Yes.
hypothesis? And yeah, I totally agree.
I had a client call me and said, Patrick, you know, your software's not working. Because I said, tell me why. He said, well, look at the dashboard, it's all red. I go, okay, as far as I can see, my software's working, it's red. He goes, yeah, but it's still red after 3 weeks. I said, dude, what have you done about it? He looked at me and goes, done? I said, this ain't magically gonna go to green, man. You have to decide what you're gonna do to change that red to green. The dashboard is a trigger to
Yeah.
show you that you're gonna do something. What are you doing? And
Yep.
Fabi goes, I haven't done anything. I said, okay, we haven't done anything. It's gonna be red and you're gonna fail. And so
Yeah.
that's what I call you get blind to red. You kind of, I tried, it didn't work. That's not acceptable. So
Yep.
sometimes you need a coach to kick you in the butt a little bit and say, wait a minute, Dean, I know you tried, but that's not acceptable. It's still gonna fail. Someone to just nudge you and make you ask that extra question. So yes, it's not complicated, not rocket science, but it's just hard to do sometimes.
Hard to do. And then a lot of us, even when we know we need to think, plan, do, you're running so hard that you forget to take a stop, a moment, and think about the thinking and the planning and what's working and not. And so I think that's some of your other points and advice that, because all of
Yes.
us start, even when we know what to do, man, you can get sucked into your business, just run real hard, and you got to pull yourself back out.
Yes. And if you're working too hard, the reason why it's important to get on a rhythm is no matter how hard you're working, you've got to pull yourself up and look up. And if you don't have a rhythm, then you don't know when to do that. So you only do that when it's too late.
Yeah.
But if you have a regular rhythm that every single week I'm going to pull myself up on a Friday, think a little bit, reflect, consider how the week went and what it should be next week. Think a little bit, plan what I want to achieve next week. Now, what I mean with my executive team on Monday, I am proactive. I am going to hit it hard versus I'm not thinking about it enough. So if you put yourself in that rhythm, rain or shine, you do that. Now you're in a predictable rhythm, and predictable rhythm will give you predictable results.
So I wrote a book too, and I have one chapter called Rhythm of the Business. So I'm 100% aligned with you. You have to have that
Thank
rhythm.
you. Thank you.
And yeah, I personally take every Wednesday no meetings and just it's like a project day or a planning day. And it's a Tuesday night, I'm so happy going to bed, can't wait to wake up and work on stuff on Wednesday, and which is a rhythm and just
Yeah,
to back
now
up
that's
what you're
interesting that
talking
you do
about.
that in the middle of the week. So you do that on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's tell me about that a little bit. Why do you do it on a Wednesday?
One to break it up. We have a lot of rhythms ourselves. We have a strategic plan and we do that in a rhythm. And we have an annual budgeting and action planning. And then we have monthly review. So we have a lot of rhythms around the business, but I could be in meetings all day, every day. And so I picked Wednesday to get a break in the middle of the week. And so it helps. So I get my weekend and I get my Wednesday. Even though I'm doing work, it's like a break.
Yeah, it's really cool that you did that because I think you've done, maybe you did it on purpose, but you've actually built in a rejuvenation process for yourself in the middle of the week. It's great.
Yep. Exactly.
Congratulations, dude. Good job.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Patrick, you and I share a lot of point of view. It's a little scary. I don't know if you're my brother or something, but I'm not from Singapore. So how can people learn more about you, your company, your books? How can they get in touch with you?
So come to rhythmsystems.com. That's my website. There's a Patrick Tien tab. You can click on that. There are lots of stuff there. And I got a podcast also. My podcast is called The Journey to CEO Success. And it's about helping CEOs have a joyful and successful journey. So feel free to come and access that and come visit me on the website, rhythmsystems.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you so much
I really
me.
Appreciate chatting with you.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data-Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida. And Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.